While Washington scurries to find a debt ceiling solution, Wall Street yawns for now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. You're going to hear a lot about Washington gridlock today, about how the two sides are negotiating down to the wire over raising the debt ceiling. Both Democrats and Republicans, though, say investors could start to panic soon. So far, they haven't. So why is it that Washington seems torn up about the issue and Wall Street is so blasé? Marketplace New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is with us live from New York. Good morning, Heidi.
Hi.
Why aren't the markets panicking so far?
Because this is how Washington works. We've seen this before. Everything is slow and it takes forever and it's never been efficient. In fact, the best example is probably back in 1995. In 1993, we actually blew right through the debt ceiling and it didn't get raised again until 1995. We basically just stopped spending. And during that time, when we had that crisis in 95, the markets barely moved. And we're here again.
And that was the government shutdown, right, of 95, the famous Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton, right?
Exactly.
So Wall Street knew this was happening, what's happening today, and they knew that was happening, I should say, and they were okay with it?
Well, not quite. I mean, this is, let's be honest, this is bonkers, right? So people are still a little incredulous. I talked to Tony Fratto. He's a hardened Washington veteran, a former Treasury official. He's now at Hamilton Place Strategies, and this is what he said about it.
Here we've been able to point to this date on the calendar for a very long time. We have a pretty good idea of what the market reaction will be, and we have a pretty good idea of what the levers for a solution are. And we're still walking into this really dangerous minefield.
So you can see from there that there is a lot of uneasiness that we're still feeling. Yes, the markets aren't reacting yet, but we're not going to have that crutch forever. And when there's a panic, there's a panic. We'll only know when it happens.
Marketplace is Heidi Moore. Heidi, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
As those talks go on, one place that's been targeted for cuts is federal student aid. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
One plan in the Senate calls for $70 billion in cuts in health, labor, and education spending over 10 years. Financial aid expert Mark Kantrowitz says cutting student loan programs would be short-sighted. Even with defaults, he says the government makes a profit on student loans.
The government earns anywhere from 10 to 20 cents on the dollar for every dollar lent. So while it may reduce the national debt, in the long run, it means less money coming in to the federal government.
But others aren't so sure the government should be in the business of lending money to students. Neil McCluskey is an education analyst with the Cato Institute. He says student aid programs are supposed to make college more affordable.
But there's very good reason to believe that the more the federal government puts into aid, the higher colleges raise prices.
McCluskey says any deal will likely include cuts to the Pell Grant program, which helps low-income students pay for college. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly lower right now. Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 43 points to close at 12,681.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
British police have been asked to investigate whether News Corporation's James Murdoch gave false testimony last week before Parliament. That's the latest in a phone hacking scandal that has investors selling a lot of News Corp stock. Now, the newspaper business in general isn't doing so well in the age of the Internet. James O'Shea oversaw newsrooms at the Chicago Tribune and LA Times during the information revolution, but he says it wasn't the Internet that plundered those great American newspapers. It was Wall Street deals. O'Shea is author of The Deal from Hell. Good morning.
Good morning.
What was the role of Wall Street in the plundering, as you say, of newspapers?
Wall Street demanded returns that newspapers delivered for many, many years. But it was unsustainable, and the continued demands put a lot of pressure on people that ran newspapers. those pressures simply crushed them and made them make a lot of bad decisions.
So what was it like being in management at the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune during this pretty turbulent time in the news business?
It got to the point where all you really did was try to figure out how to do more with less. That's why when Sam Zell came along, a real estate investor with a reputation of having a Midas touch, everybody actually kind of looked at him like a savior because they thought, well, maybe he can figure this out. We sure haven't. Along came the investment bankers, and in this deal, they earned $287 million in fees. That would be enough for me to run the Los Angeles Times newsroom and employ more than 900 journalists for 2 years.
You talk about Wall Street and big moguls who were plundering the great American newspaper, but is that an accurate statement given what the internet did?
They had to deliver these kind of returns, and to deliver those returns, they became over-reliant on advertising, and the internet came along, and it was basically far better advertising vehicle than the newspaper was, and so it put enormous pressures to cut, and it kind of ignited the cycle of decline that we still see today.
I know Tribune is trying to get out of bankruptcy. Can the company succeed given what it has in front of it?
Once they come out, Tribune Company will be owned by banks that don't want to be in the newspaper business. And so they're going to want their money back. And when they want their money back, they have a tendency to cut budgets. So I think it's a pretty daunting future. The papers might be sold to somebody that actually wants to be in the newspaper business, and that'll be the best thing that could happen to them.
James O'Shea, the author of The Deal from Hell, How Moguls and Wall Street Plundered Great American Newspapers. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And finally, the internet is hurting newspapers, but without it, people are hurting. A new consumer research study says 53% of people who went internet-free for a day said they were lonely. 40% described themselves as upset. Apparently, there's some personal pain involved, too. One participant said, quote, "It was like having my hand chopped off." I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It seems so basic until you can't do it.
Thumb is able to grasp a plate or to pass a business card or to grasp a key to turn in a lock.
Introducing the iLimb. I'm Kai Rizdahl, publicity for prosthetics. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.